Final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase, along with Derek Mason here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. Willie Donick here with you, and we are about to be joined by Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. 32 Thoughts is the podcast, and of course, he is a part of the big production, Hockey Night in Canada. Great stuff. Love talking hockey with him every week. Elliot, welcome into the show. Plenty to get to, for sure. It is really heating up. And, of course, after the break, Nashville has stumbled a little bit here. And meanwhile, some of the teams around them, as is always the case, there's always some pressure that starts getting applied post-All-Star break. So, first, let me get your thoughts on the deal that Calgary made. Obviously, they're playing great hockey right now. I think they've won, what, 8 in a row. And they have just acquired Tyler Toffoli. Is this maybe the move that has other teams around them in the standing saying, we got to do something here?
I do think they increased some conversation, guys. There's no question about that. Calgary really wanted to get Toffoli. There's a lot of connections there. The GM there, Brad Treliving, said this week that when he was in Arizona as an assistant, they considered drafting Toffoli when he was, I guess that was 2012 or 10 or something like that. And then when he was traded from the Kings to the Canucks, they were in on that too, didn't get him. So they've had a long interest in him, and the coach of the Flames, Daryl Sutter, of course, won Stanley Cups with Toffoli in L.A. So they all know each other pretty well. Plus, the other thing is that Calgary has an unrestricted free agent winger in Johnny Gaudreau and another winger in Matthew Tkachuk, who needs a new contract after this year and is an unrestricted free agent potentially a year from now. And I know they want to keep those guys, and that's the long-term plan, but this gives them a little bit more of insurance on the wing. So they are going for it. They're a really good team. They've got a lead in the Pacific. They're better than we thought. They play a tough style. I think they're going to be a tough out for anyone who gets them. And I don't think Claude Giroux, for example, was going to Calgary, and they wanted an offensive player, and this fit was perfect for them.
And speaking of that division, the Pacific, Jack Eichel gets into the lineup last night. They fall short against the Avalanche, but just seeing him in the uniform has got to make them feel good, because I don't know that that was a certainty, right? Elliot, we weren't exactly sure when he was going to play when they made the trade, but he's in there, he's in the fold, and he's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, I watched as much as I could. Like, there was a lot of good hockey on last night. Like, there were a lot of really, that Florida-Carolina game was a great game. The women's gold medal game was a huge game, and that game was a game I was watching too. You know, to me, he was a little too wired, but I don't know how you would expect any different. He took two penalties. I'm not sure that that's going to be a regular occurrence for him. At least I hope not. And he just wasn't himself. You know, like, that Colorado team is a hell of a team. They've got one loss in regulation since the middle of December, and you know, basically he got thrown into the deep end right away. And he's a good player, and he'll be fine. But last night he just wasn't up to yet the speed he's going to need to be. But long term, I mean, that Vegas team is going to be good, and he's going to be fine. I know that David Poile is one of the GMs who doesn't really like all of the salary cap finagling, I guess is the best way to put it. But the horse is out of the barn. There's not much that can really be done about it now.
The Friedman rule, right? We talked about this last week. I noticed you used that term on your podcast as well, your fantasy football league. You have rule changes named because of you trying to find loopholes.
Yes. I used to do stuff like that. I used to do a lot of future considerations and things like that. And I was like, I was one of those idiots who'd say, well, tell me where it says I can't do it. So yes. Any time that I would say that, they would say, okay, we're going to get you on this. And I would try to get votes to say, because we have like a majority vote. And I would say, guys, like, this is really good. It's exciting. People love it. And they'd be like, no, we hate you and we hate your ideas. And I would lose, yeah, you know, 11-1 or 10-2 or something like that. I just think it's fine. Like, I know some people don't like it. I just think it's good. It makes the game more exciting. I think the fans like it. And you need villains, right? I mean, some people are going to see Vegas as a villain, just like they saw Tampa as a villain and Chicago as a villain. And so I think sports needs that. You need villains.
Well, let's just say that you know, that Mark Stone isn't healed up until the playoffs. We know that will be a big story. If he comes back, he's activated for the playoffs, and they have the full complement of players without ever having to really give up anything when they were way over the salary cap. I would think it would come up, but as you said, it's already too late. The rule is the rule. So I'm curious, though, if Mark Stone is ready, you know, hockey players don't like to sit out if they're perfectly capable of playing, especially not a great player in his prime like Mark Stone. So if he is ready, so what could they do? If let's say it's let's say it's April 1st and it's past the trade deadline and they would like to get these guys in, what are the options there?
Well, it's pretty funny. I asked that. I was talking about that with someone yesterday, and he laughed and he said, "That's when Max Pacioretty gets a hangnail or something like that."
Okay.
It's a good question. Now, I think the one thing that's different now, guys, is that the NHL, you guys obviously know Shea Weber. It's a perfect example to bring up. So last summer, when Shea Weber made it clear that he wasn't going to play again, the NHL wasn't so willing to accept that right away. And, it basically used to be when Chris Pronger didn't play again in Philly, they traded him to Arizona. And what he would have to do is after he was traded to Arizona, and I think he still had to be paid for 2 years. So if I remember correctly, what they did was he had to go to the beginning of training camp and take a physical, and he would fail it, and then they'd never see him again until the next year, and he would take a physical, and then they wouldn't, and basically they'd fail him. Well, one of the things the NHL has started to do more often is say, you have to come see the doctor, so we're sure. Like Shea Weber, I think this year he's had to see the doctor two or three times, which is a bit unique, just to make sure he can't play. So I think what's going to happen here is I don't think anybody's questioning that Mark Stone has a legitimate injury. I think he's missed 17 games this year with a bad back. I just think that what they'll monitor is, does it get to a point where a doctor says he can play? And then your scenario could open where what are they going to have to do to be cap compliant if at some point the NHL rules that he's got to come back, that he's healthy enough to play? I would be surprised if that happened, but there certainly has been a cry for a bit more enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Elliot, John Hines was fined $25,000. It kind of was a surprise to us. We didn't see much. I did see he was the last guy to leave the bench. It looked like he was trying to get a word with the officials. I don't know what he said or the motivation, but I was reminded of a discussion you and Jeff Merrick had earlier in the season on an incident that happened in Carolina. Of course, that's where Nashville is heading here. We're about to head for the airport. But doesn't get much easier for Nashville. Hurricanes and then Florida are the next two on the road. Mm-hmm. But Rod Brind'Amour was fined, and it was an incident, if I recall, people didn't think it was crazy. But there's been, I guess, a point of emphasis to coaches that we're going to be watching you close, and we need you to cool it.
Well, I have to say this. Like, I didn't think what Brind'Amour did was a big deal, guys, but I got roasted for that. Like, people really disagreed with me, and which is proof that I'm right and they're all wrong. But I do have to say that I did have a lot of pushback on that one, from like fans, which is perfectly fine, and some from people around the league. And the other thing I actually got was I had some people from minor hockey reach out to really disagree with me because they say that official abuse is a big problem.
Yeah, the trickle down,
and,
I guess.
Yes, and I don't always buy that. To me, it's like if your kid hears swearing on TV, you can laugh at it on TV and tell your kid, hey, don't do that. But I get it. Like they do feel very strongly about the trickle-down effect, as you guys mentioned. I just think that basically the memo from the league was, if you criticize, we can fine you. And I don't really like that, but I've had some deeper conversations where people say that it's just basically what is said, and they don't want you to cross a certain line. And the one thing I would assume, and I don't know this for sure, and maybe you can ask, someone can ask John Hines, was he warned? Like, Brind'Amour had been fined once before. He'd been warned before. And they finally just said, you know, you're not listening to our warnings or the previous fine. We're hammering you here. And I would be curious to know if Hines had been previously warned or anything like that, because it's supposed to be a warning first before they fine you. They try to understand that, you know, these are pressure-packed jobs and people can snap. So I would be curious to know if he'd been warned before.
Yeah, it was ironic that they were playing Peter Laviolette in the Capitals, because as we saw here for 5 years, Peter Laviolette, much more demonstrative with the officials than John Hines, for sure, or Barry Trotz, for that matter. Elliot, hang with us.
Oh, yeah, like some of those guys, like, I sometimes I wonder if he gets revenge calls because they remember some of the things he said to him all over the years.
Oh, yes. Some of them were captured on tape as well. Elliot Friedman is presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Glad to have him. More conversation with him on the other side. Darren will lead the questioning. Stay tuned. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're continuing our discussion with Elliot Friedman. Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts, Sportsnet. Every week he's presented by the Bank of England Mortgage. Back here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Elliot, it seems like as we get closer to the trade deadline, I guess we're a little bit less than 5 weeks away, with the standings looking, to me, and I know we've talked about this, the haves and the have-nots, I think it's got a chance to be pretty active, and we're already seeing some of that activity. But what concerns me is a little bit is when I start reading into where people are speculating, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury or some of these names to be on the move, it seems like all things are pointing towards the Predators division. You know, like Minnesota and St. Louis or Colorado. Are you hearing the same thing?
Well, I do think Colorado is going to take a big swing. I really do believe it. You know, I think they have interest in Claude Giroux. I think they have interest elsewhere. You know, they're a good team. They could win the Stanley Cup, and they've got some big salary cap questions to come between, you know, Nathan MacKinnon and other players on that roster. So I do think Colorado's going to take a big swing. So if you're worried about something like that, you should be. You know, St. Louis, they're definitely looking at defensemen. I think they've been linked to Sherratt. Well, I know they've been linked to Sherratt from Montreal because I did that. I think also Jeff Chychrun from Arizona. I definitely believe they're looking to beef up on the blue line. Minnesota to me is a really interesting one because he really likes his team, but I think but also we've talked about this. Your playoffs this year in that division are going to be insane. Like they are going to be. Like, it's not going to be for the faint-hearted. You can't get pushed around or you're going to get clobbered there. And, you know, I think that Minnesota knows that. I think if they can find a center, they're going to go for a center. I do think they're going to do that. I think they have some interest in Christian Dvorak from Montreal, but the problem is he's got term. And at the next couple of years, Bill Guerin, their cap is cut, right, because of the Suter-Parise buyouts. So I think that it affects what he can do. But I do think he's going to look at some things. I definitely think all the people around you are going to be looking to upgrade. Now, what was interesting was, I guess Scott Nickel from the Predators was at an AHL game on the weekend with Lehigh Valley, and that's, you know, that's Philly's team, and I don't remember who they were playing, so people were kind of curious about that. But, to me, I don't see David Poile as someone who's willing to look and do anything short-term, at least not major. I got to think he likes his group, and he wants to see how they're going to do down the stretch.
Is Giroux the biggest? I mean, is he going to be the most sought? Like, who's going to be the biggest name bantied about for the trade deadline?
I think it's probably Giroux. I think he's the best player available. Like, you know, put it this way, guys. I think teams have asked Chicago, like, what would you ever trade, like, just out of morbid curiosity, would Patrick Kane ever be available? But I don't see that happening right now. I mean, obviously, if that was to happen, he would be the biggest name, but I'm not convinced that's going to happen right now. I think that's something for later if it happens at all.
David Poile joined us on Tuesday. You know that he joins our show every week. And what was interesting this Tuesday is he seemed to be more than willing. And, you know, we joke with him all the time, and we've told you about it. You know, we joke about, you know, the constant Philip Forsberg question. And it seemed like this week he was embracing that question. He wanted to go there. This week, he wanted to talk about Philip Forsberg. He wanted to make it abundantly clear that he wants a deal done, a deal in place or done by the trading deadline. What, are you hearing anything on that front?
I believe that, like, I don't think he's lying to you. It's probably not a good idea for me to come on radio in Nashville and say David Poile's lying to your listeners. It's probably not a good call for me. I think he's telling you the truth. I think he would like to have, you know, like for me, like I remember talking about this with one GM once, a pretty experienced GM, and he said to me, "Here's my rules, and I'll tell you these once, and you should, and so you'll always know when you're dealing with me what you feel." He says, number one, if I think we can win the Stanley Cup, I'm not trading anybody I think we need, even if they're UFAs. I think it's so hard to win the Stanley Cup. If you have a chance to win it, you go for it, regardless of what it means for your future. Okay? He says, if I don't think I can win the Stanley Cup and I've got a key UFA, I have to know, I have to believe at the deadline that I can sign him. If I ever trade a guy at the deadline who's a big player for us, it's because I get an offer I can't refuse, or I just don't believe I can sign the player. And so, like, that's the way I've learned that a lot of people kind of think similarly to that. I don't know if Nashville believes they can win the Stanley Cup this year. I don't know if they'll admit it, but I think they would say, we've taken a huge step. And if we get in, we'll see what we can have, what happens. But I'm not sure they're sitting there thinking and saying, we're going to win the Stanley Cup this year. But if you were to tell me that David Poile said, I would like to know that I can re-sign Philip Forsberg, I would believe that. So to me, he wants to know at the deadline, can I sign this guy? And if the answer is no, then I would believe he would consider trading him.
So we kind of tossed this around the room, and so I want you to weigh in on it. Ranking these three, I guess the way I phrased it is these are the three big items that David Poile has to discuss with Forsberg's agent.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Term. Mm-hmm. And trade protection, right? Those are the big three. And so I asked everybody to rank them in order of easiest to hardest. So how would you do easiest to hardest of the big three? Like, which one is the easiest one to come to the conclusion, you think, with this agent?
Tweet. For me, it's term, because how old is Forsberg? 27?
Yeah, so that's what we said, yes. Yeah.
Because so, he's not signing a four-year deal.
Correct.
Unless for some reason I'm not aware of, he says, "Yeah, I'd like to try another contract when I'm 31."
So we agree. We all agreed, without a doubt, the easiest one is he's getting a max deal. I mean, he's getting a max deal here or somewhere else. So we're all in agreement there. Now this was the one where we all kind of differed. So what would you have number two as the easiest, and which one's the hardest?
I would say the easiest is going to be, look, he's going to get some level of no trade protection. Like, I know the Predators haven't liked that for a long time, but they did it for Josi, and they're going to have to do it for Forsberg. So I actually think that it's not what they like to do, but you've set the example, and you have to come to it. Like, especially, and we've talked about the Ryan Ellis deal, right? One of the best advantages of Tennessee is you guys are a no-tax state. And I think that the players who sign there, a number of them have taken like a little bit less, or they base their salary on we're in a no-tax state, and then you get traded to a tax state, and boy, it makes them goofy. And I think anybody would understand that. So I actually think that that is going to be the second easiest thing to do, because I think they'll recognize that it matters. They'll recognize that they've done it for Yossi, and Forsberg's a franchise icon, and maybe they're going to have, I think the issue might be what exactly the protection is,
yep.
But I just can't see them not understanding that they're going to have to do it to a similar level, if not the same as what Yossi got.
Okay, the two of us.
I got to think that they know that.
I completely agree. The two of us are thinking alike. I said the same thing. Basically saying both camps know how each other feels about this. David yeah. Poile, they know how David Poile has operated over the years. They know what, you know, they know how this works with the Predators organization. Doesn't mean that they're coming off, but they know that they're going to have to work with him. They're not going to get exactly what they want. David Poile, on the other hand, knows exactly that they're not going to just say, okay, fine, you don't do that, so it's no big deal. He's going to have to also, right? So they both know they're going to have to give a little, right? And so that's why I think it was going to be the second easiest. I think money is going to be, you know, the money is going to be the hardest one to come to. That's
I agree with you. I think it's the toughest one because, number one, I could see them saying, look, Yossi's our captain. He's our highest paid player.
Yep. That's right.
And you know, to be honest, like after Saros, Yossi's the MVP, right?
Yep.
So, you know, now Forsberg, now that, and then it'll come down to how Forsberg feels about that. He could say, and also don't forget the cap is tighter now. Everybody thought the cap was going to certain places. We know it's not. So that's another challenge. And I'm sure that the Predators will say, and Forsberg will say, look, that deal was signed 2 years ago. It doesn't matter anymore. Now there's plenty of deals where players have signed big numbers and other people have left over it. Or maybe he'll be happy with the number. I don't know. But I'm sure the agent will get in there because that's what the agent's paid to do is say, well, you know what? I know that the cap doesn't move up, but that was signed a couple of years ago, and this is the way it goes. And eventually, you know, they'll have to make a decision. But I do think that the actual number might be the toughest thing to get to.
Yep, we're in agreement. Hey, good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll do it next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Elliot Friedman, you do the same. He's Radio Gold every Thursday on this program starting at 1 o'clock, and he's presented by Bank of England Mortgage, and we appreciate him joining us as always. Let me talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. They've improved my quality of life, and they can do the same for you. So, and they do so many things under one roof. So, you know, if I can talk to a lot of different categories. Like maybe right now you're not satisfied with your weight. You would love to shed some pounds as hopefully the warmer temperatures are coming just around the corner. And you'd like to shed some pounds? Well, weight loss management's important to them. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Your appearance is important. I hope so. At least it is to me. Rejuvenation is something they can discuss with you. PRP, hair removal, Botox. They understand it gets tougher as we all get older. And finally, hormone therapy is another thing they do under their roof. And if you've never had your levels checked, do you realize that they go down as you age? And when they go down, that can affect your drive. It can affect your energy. It can affect your mood. And if something like that has been going on with you, we're trying to figure out what's going on. I don't feel like myself. I feel a little bit off. Well, they'll be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.